Okay, so Himani, how did you discover SEO?
Okay, so well, this would take me to the, you know, college times. And it's something that, you know, I have done my IT. And while I was doing IT, I got to know that there are, you know, some courses that one of the well-known agencies here in India was offering. So one was SEO, search engine optimization. So I just did it out of curiosity. That okay, I was sure that I don't want to get into too much technical or the code side of it, right? So I got to know that okay, SEO is somewhat where I would not need to do coding almost every day. So you know, I went ahead with that, did a small course, and while doing that course, I got to know that okay, I'm learning this, I'm loving this, and even I was performing better during those practical tests. And that's how, you know, the agency who was offering the course, they hired me as their team member. So that's how I got to know that, okay, there is this search engine optimization kind of a thing which exists in the world.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. So I noticed that for your, so how did you go from learning SEO to building, you know, a service-based business? Like what kind of motivated you to go that path?
Right. So I guess it's something that, you know, like I am into this industry for more than 13 years now, right? So at that point in time, it was something that I did jobs like, you know, in-house at agencies, and then moved into in-house roles. Like say for 7 years, I was into this job kind of culture. And then slowly and gradually, I entered being a consultant to various organizations because I wanted to work on multiple projects. And when I was working in-house at one of the corporates over here, that opportunity or that challenge, that learning is something that I was craving for. So that pushed me into being a consultant to various organizations. And while being a consultant, you know, you are the face, you are the marketing manager of a lot of your clients. So in that case, you decide that, you know, what part of your work you are going to outsource to freelancers, to agencies, and many other, right? So in that case, when I reached out to various agencies, they used to come up with one thing was like, you know, packages. Like, okay, if you have 15 keywords to be targeted, the cost would be this much. And if you're targeting, like, say, 25 keywords, the cost would be this much. And if you go beyond 40 keywords, the costing would be something else, right? So my, you know, very basic question used to be that, okay, how are you going to help me understand that, okay, these 10 keywords or these 15 keywords or 40 keywords are going to get me, like, say, 1 lakh users on the website? I mean, what is the strategy behind it? How am I going to judge that whether the people that are going to come on the website would be ready to buy, right? So that kind of questions I used to have. And at that point in time, the agencies used to say that, you know, the moment you will have commercial queries on page one, you will get to see the results. But that was not something that allowed me to trust due to my, you know, experience or the knowledge that I had, right? So my, you know, clients used to tell me that, Himani, it is very difficult to get you a team. Better you have a team. And I was like, you know, I used to understand, okay, they are joking. And I just used to laugh it out. But, you know, COVID happened. And when it is, you know, it was COVID, and my husband used to be in the textile industry. And because here it was, I mean, everywhere it was lockdown, but during the lockdown period, my husband was like that, you know, Himani's struggling to capture more clients. Let me ask her why she's struggling. And she, I mean, he asked me, and I was like, okay, I have limited bandwidth being a consultant, so I cannot cater to many clients that I want. So I have to say no to a few of the clients. And he was like, no, you cannot say no to a client. Being from a business background, you know, he was, he has always been an entrepreneur. So it becomes really difficult for an entrepreneur to digest a no to a client, right? So he was like that, no, you cannot say no if the customer is right. I mean, the customer is relevant, right? So you cannot say no. So we sat down, we said, you know, we decided that, okay, we are now going to have a team. We are going to set the processes. And this is how we announced during the lockdown that now Himani Kankaria is now Missive Digital.
Yeah, very, very interesting transition. So how did you get your initial handful of clients? How did you land those?
So, okay. So here, I guess one thing that I started doing was building my own personal brand since 2015, right? So actually, I didn't know that I am building a personal brand, but it eventually happened. You know, I was learning, you know, during 2016, I ran an experiment where I wrote a content which almost took 21 days for me to create it. You know, I was sitting with the testers, QAs and everyone, and, you know, I created that piece. I optimized it completely based on my understanding and I published it. Within the publishing of that content, in 3 days, the content was on featured snippets. So, you know, it was a huge, huge achievement. And, you know, I got a huge recognition in my organization, which was 300 people company. So at that point in time, it was very amazing thing for me. So, you know, it was that since then I was sharing everything that I was learning. So on Twitter, I was really active. I started putting notes that these are the things I experimented to drive a featured snippet. Then, you know, what all mistakes I did and everything that I was learning, I was sharing on LinkedIn, Twitter, everywhere. So slowly and gradually, I was building up an audience, which I didn't know. But the moment I announced that, okay, now Himani Kankaria is now Missive Digital, I started getting more inquiries from LinkedIn. So what happened is people were silently noticing how Himani is doing, how, you know, she has been progressing with her clients, with her learning, with her experiences. So people were noticing me, but they were not giving me the projects just because I never had a team. The moment I announced that I now have a team, I started getting more customers. But before that, like, say, for example, I was a consultant before, you know, setting up an agency. So during consulting, I guess sharing these information on LinkedIn helped me capture more leads. So for me, I guess the highest biggest channel for me earning the clients right from becoming the consultant to running, I mean, setting up an agency and running this successfully is, you know, LinkedIn.
Right. Yeah. So what is your right now? What does your LinkedIn strategy look like? Are you still kind of doing the same thing where you're kind of sharing what's working in the field and saying, hey, by the way, if you want to work with us, well, what does your content strategy look like there to attract leads?
Right. So, you know, what happens is that most of the businesses, you know, we work with most of the business owners and the marketing managers, right? And these are the people who directly hire SEO agencies to work. And we being very specific, I mean, we are more into content-driven SEO, right? So we are less into, you know, optimizing the JavaScripts and doing those heavy link building campaigns. We are not too much into that. We are exactly into building the content strategy that would work for your SEO. So for that purpose, what we do is whenever there is something happening in the industry, we share that. Even we share the learnings, we share the processes, right? So like I have kept this, calendar for myself, or I would say a schedule for myself, that every day or at least every alternative day, I have to share something that I have learned the day before. So it could be anything. It could be related to, like, say, for example, a learning with one of our clients, a learning while managing their own team. It could be a learning from, say, Alida Soli's newsletter. It could be anything, right? So anything that I have learned new right before I'm publishing, straight away I put that on LinkedIn so that I can educate the people that this is how you should be doing and your team should be doing. So we stick to one audience. I mean, we stick to one audience as when we are talking, it's business owners, right? So we try to talk and connect to their pain points. The pain points are like, say, their ROI, you know, the conversion ratio, right? Their challenges are with understanding the pace of how the SEO is going to perform for them, how their industry is shaping up, right? Where SEO needs to fit in, where you should say no to SEO. And like, say, there are stages, right? When it comes to startups, they really don't have huge budgets to spend on SEO, right? So where they can balance it out so that everything works in a streamlined way. So these are the things that I keep on sharing on LinkedIn, and that has been working for us.
That's great. So I noticed that on your website, you are kind of, you're taking the content. So content is kind of the focus. And then you're also, you've niched down to kind of three different verticals. So B2B, SaaS, and IT. So has it always been that way? Or did you start maybe focusing on one vertical and you liked working in that one vertical or that niche, and then you moved in? How did that kind of transpire?
Okay. So because I wanted to test first that whether I'm an agency material or not. So, you know, what I did is, because my experience of job and the consulting, it all included B2B and IT, right? So when I have worked with IT, I used to work with a lot of software products as well. So it was easier for us to understand the SaaS industry as well. So from the day one itself, we started with only these three segments, B2B, SaaS, and IT. And slowly and gradually, after 1.5 years, we announced that, okay, now we have good case studies on e-commerce. So now we are also into e-commerce. Still then, we were just focusing on these three verticals. Still, our maximum chunk of business is into these three. E-commerce is something that we have started like 2 years ago. So now it's something that we have good hands on. So now we are also into e-commerce.
So for someone that's starting a SEO service business, how important do you believe that it is to niche down as opposed to just trying to be, you know, a huge agency that it doesn't really have a focus?
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, it depends on the goal, actually. If you have a goal to become a huge company, like say 300 people agency, right? In that case, you can avoid being niching down, right? And you can take up everything that comes into your place. But to be very honest, it is very difficult to start right and sustain over the period of time. So in that case, our goal and our vision was very simple and very clear. We don't want to become huge in terms of number of people or number of clients. We want to have clients who are big enough in their size. So we can have, like, say, lesser number of projects or lesser number of team, but we should be having sizable, you know, companies who are, you know, who are really passionate about their growth in terms of organic as well, because they are already sustained in their industry, right? They need a huge push in terms of market visibility on search engines, right? So niching down will help you test your waters, that how, you know, you are going along with the entire agency side of it. And niching down would also help you stay focused. That, okay, like still, we are, you know, we have niched down on two things. We have niched down on industry, I mean the segments, and we have niched down on SEO as well. So we are not doing entire SEO. We are doing majority of the content SEO. So we do technical audit, but technical audit is to support the content SEO that we are doing. We do link building, but just to support it. But we don't run some heavy thing. In that case, we reach out to technical SEO consultants, or, you know, there are technical SEO friends as well. You know, many people that are there who, you know, help us. And we also collaborate with other people. Even they know, they keep their own consultants for technical SEO. So with clear messaging, that has helped us to drive only right kind of, you know, inquiries on the website. So people who come on the website, they come with clear agenda that, okay, Himani's team or the Missive is going to help them with content-driven SEO. So niche down has helped me staying focused, and it has helped us that we don't receive any irrelevant inquiries.
I've just seen it and heard it so many times. For when you niche down, it just makes everything better. It makes your marketing easier. It makes your sales process easier, and it makes your fulfillment process easier because you know that vertical already.
Absolutely. So I
totally agree. So tell me more about kind of what your so I know kind of what your marketing process looks like. What does your sales process look like? When someone comes into your world, what's the first thing that happens?
Okay. So like I guess many other SEO agencies, we do the discovery call, which is very, very common, where we have a set of questions that we ask. In this discovery call, what we do is we try to understand the business, their industry, the target audience, the target locations, and why they are looking for SEO, right? So we try and understand everything, whether they have invested in paid marketing, if yes, how much they are spending, if they already have a content team or not, what is their focus, how they want SEO to be aligned. So we have these set of questions that we ask them during our discovery call. In that call, through these questions, we understand that this client is looking at somewhere, you know, these kind of goals, whether it is possible for us to provide or not. So, you know, lead qualification becomes really easy. So we have put that lead qualifiers that, okay, if the client fits into these areas, if they have these, you know, if the checklist gets yes, yes, yes across a couple of questions, okay, that is a qualified lead for us. Right. So we ask everything for us to understand who is the audience we are going to tap, who is the competition, and how much difficult it is going to be for us to compete and outbeat those, you know, competitors. So we try and understand all of those things. So once we are done with this discovery call, we have understood that what they want from us. So the next step is to build an overview plan plus proposal. Right. So in that overview plan, based on the understanding that we have gathered, we prepare a plan that, okay, these are the goals that you want to achieve. To achieve those goals, here are the steps that we feel we should be doing over a period of time, like say an year or something. Right. So the quarterly plan is created. So once that is done, we are able to understand the effort that the entire team is going to put into. And based on that, we come up with the commercials as well. And then we send that proposal to the client. That is the second step. Third step is where, you know, we get onto the call, or if it is an in-person meeting, I go and meet them to help them understand that how we have planned this, if there are any changes to the plan, if they want to increase the pace, whether they want to go more aggressively than what we have planned. All of those discussions happen in that particular meeting. And most of the time, like if I say, we have almost 70 to 80% conversion ratio in that particular meeting itself. So, right. You know, if we have 10 leads, for example, then 70%, 7 leads get converted in that third meeting.
Right. So let me rewind back to the discovery call, because I think it's really, really important. So I'm assuming there are certain red flags where it's like a certain way a question was answered. You're like, yikes, I don't know about this one. So what are those kind of those red flags you're looking for?
Okay. So number one, if they are looking for rankings, it's a pretty no. Because to be very honest, we hardly send keyword ranking reports to any of our clients. We literally don't send such reports because they are managing their own reports. We are also managing our own reports on Semrush, Ahrefs. So, you know, everyone has the same data. what we send into the reports is the, you know, kind of traffic that we have brought, how much, you know, engagement that our content has brought, whether that has generated leads or not, right? So we are focusing more on such metrics. So if someone is saying that, Himani, we want, you know, our these many commercial queries on number one page by, like, say, 6 months or a year, even they say year, we say no. We don't play on queries. We play on number of traffic, number of leads, or the engagement, or as the brand metrics, right? The brand visibility, or, you know, brand branding or brand reputation metrics on conversions. How much conversion are we bringing? How many quality MQLs, I mean, marketing qualified leads are we able to drive in, is something that we focus on. So, you know, queries, it could be anything. Your blogs can also perform commercially. It doesn't matter, right? So if they talk about rankings, we say, okay, we don't play on rankings. That is one red flag. Another red flag is that, you know, they are too much talking about the speed of the results or something like that. Or maybe they are saying that how much it would be if we try and achieve these many or people to the website or this much traffic by, say, 6 months. Which is like almost non-achievable, right? So if they feel that, I mean, if they give us some goals which are almost non-achievable, we try and ask them the reason behind it, that, okay, why are you looking at such a huge goal in, I mean, just shorter period of time? And if we feel that it is a valid, we might consider it. But otherwise, if they feel the need is the speed, we try and, you know, make sure that the speed is not something that we are looking, because when you build a brand organically, it is obviously going to take time, right? Of course, we understand there are campaigns where you showcase great results in 3 months, in 6 months, but that shouldn't be the ultimate goal of it. We achieve it, which is good, right? But that doesn't mean that it has to be for that purpose only they come to us, right? Third red flag would be, like, say, if they are looking for something really cheap. So that is something, we try and understand based on how they have been investing in the marketing. And if they have somewhere said that, you know, being a very small agency, I mean, being a very small business, you know how it is difficult for us to manage the budget and everything. If they try to say something like that, we understand that, okay, they don't have a budget for SEO. So maybe they can come later once they have earned really good amount of revenue through other marketing channels, right? So this is how, you know, we see a couple of red flags. And I guess I missed one, is the packages. There are still people who come and ask me that, you know, do you have packages that, you know, you already have a packages, please do send me. Then I would like to understand more about your service. And I'm like, okay, then it's completely no. Because before understanding the service, before understanding the plan, if you're talking commercial, which means you're only looking for options, but not the strategy.
What about guarantees? What if they talk about, do you guarantee results? How do you handle that?
To be very honest, when I was a consultant, I used to get such questions. But while I'm running the agency, I'm hardly getting such questions, because nowadays, people do understand. I mean, they also come with this statement that, see, Himani, we also understand that SEO is like, you know, we have this Ayurveda medicine, right? So it's like Ayurvedic or homeopathic, that how it cures from within, but it takes time to give you results, right? So similarly, they all understand nowadays, people have got that understanding that, okay, SEO is going to take some time. But when it comes to guarantee, I guess people used to ask me that, you know, if you have aimed this, what is the guarantee that, you know, okay, these are the goals that you are going to achieve. And to that question, I have this one line, or I would say two lines, that the way you set the sales goals, right, the way you set the business goals, they are just for the inspiration, the direction that, okay, this is the goal we want to achieve in the next 5 years. So in that 5 years, maybe you achieve 80% of it, 60% of it, right? But not necessarily you are going to achieve 100% every time, right? So similarly, not 100% of the time we are going to achieve those goals, but those goals are going to give you a direction so that you stick to that direction to achieve that goal that you want to achieve.
Yeah, I like that. That's smart. So I'm assuming that for a business to be qualified to work with you, they should already have some sort of established marketing channels that are already up and running. Yes. So maybe they've got some referral generation, maybe they've got some publicity coming in, maybe they've got something already going before they're going to start to invest in SEO. I'm assuming that's absolutely just based on kind of what I heard. Okay. All right. Yeah. So, and one thing I noticed too is on your website, you do something that's really interesting, which I thought was kind of cool, is you request a content calendar. So I'm assuming that kind of acts as your lead magnet to get people into the door. How did you formulate that idea and how well does that work for you as far as your funnel?
Okay. So, content calendar is one of our key services, I would say, that there are customers who just come and tell us, Himani, we just need 3 months of the entire content calendar. And, while we are focusing too much on the content stuff, right? How the content is built, what type of content needs to be written so that it ranks and it adds value to the, you know, sales pipeline as well, right? So we have been too much into content. So when we used to work with writers, we used to struggle a lot. I mean, we used to get a lot of challenges where we have to guide so much to the writers that, okay, this is how you need to create it. These are the jargons. I mean, the basic stuff that were missed by the writers, right? Because they are not the subject matter expert. We understand that. That is not a problem at all. But at least eventually we got to know that, okay, if we put information in a trackable way, right, that okay, these are the topics that we want to write, these are the keywords that we want to rank these content for, and if we want to achieve featured snippet out of it, there has to be a lot of planning involved in it. So usually we used to optimize it after the content was publishing. What we did is, let's do our research in advance and get things ready for the writer. So we started giving spoon feeding to the writers. So writer can pick up the information from the calendar and they start creating, right? So this has helped us so well that, earlier we never used to get inquiries for just content strategy. But now, with a lot of people seeing this calendar for free available, right? While I have written content on Search Engine Journal, Search Engine Land, everywhere I have tried using that, linked to the calendar. Even Women in Tech SEO, if you know that podcast with Ari Jabuali and Sarah. So in that podcast also, I shared that particular calendar as well. So that calendar has actually brought a lot of visibility that, okay, this much thorough calendar can be made. I mean, we have went so much thorough that we even give the outlines of the content in the calendar. So even the writers don't have to, struggle of what needs to be added in a particular content, because say brand positioning, you talk about CTAs that, okay, these kind of CTAs needs to be added. And these are the internal linkings that we are looking at, whether that particular blog should have FAQs or not. Every information we give in that calendar, which eases out for writers to create content as per our expectations, as per users' expectations, and as per the business expectations, right? So that has helped us a lot, because now the feedback cycle has reduced, to the writers, the feedback cycle has reduced for our clients as well. So that is gaining trust for us that, okay, this is working as a lead magnet. And then it is also helping us with other services like content creation, even SEO as well.
Right, yeah, I want to get into the kind of breaking down how your content strategy works. But I want to kind of focus in on the how you structure your deals, right? So when you're preparing your proposal, number one, is the proposal personalized? I'm assuming, based on what I've heard, yes, from you, it's a personalized proposal. Yes. And then number two, what do these packages look like? Do you have multiple tiers of pricing based on aggressiveness? And within those packages, what do the deliverables tend to look like?
Right. So, like I mentioned that, we usually don't have package system, but we most of the time we still calculate entire effort project by project, right? Because we are still a small team. It's not something that we have, like, you know, say 100 people company and we have a huge sales team. No, it's not like that. So that is the reason what we do is we create a strategy. Based on the strategy, we calculate the effort that, okay, these are these many effort or these many hours our senior team member is going to put, then our junior team members, how many junior team members would be working for that particular project. Based on the, as you said, yes, aggressiveness would matter a lot, because if it is aggressive, I have to put more resources for that particular project, right? So if we put more resources, if it is difficult industry, then of course I need more senior people rather than, you know, junior people. If it is very less competitive industry and it is possible to achieve our goals that we have set, right? If there is junior teams that can be set up. So based on that, we calculate the effort and then we calculate the costing. And that's how, you know, we even, that is the reason why we give an overview plan accord along with the proposal, so that the moment we roll in or we onboard a client, we are almost ready to just get started with understanding, well, having a basic few calls and then just start working on it.
Yeah. And that's, I think a lot of people might see that, like, who are listening to you might see that as like a huge risk, right? Cause like what, so what happens if you invest all this time in this beautiful proposal and you got this beautiful strategy and then they say, ah, you know what? Sorry, we're not going to invest in SEO, or sorry, we're going to go with this other company. Like, how do you handle that component of it?
Right. So you usually, as I said, right, that, you know, when we are qualifying in that particular area only, we understand, we try to gauge that, you know, what could be challenging for them, right? And those we pain, you know, we understand those pain points and try to cover them in that plan and in the proposal. So we usually invest, like, you know, we don't go really overboard, but yes, we do invest like 3 hours of our time, right, in preparing that particular thing. But we don't even go in too much thorough, right? So that they get the strategy. You know, there are some, you know, fears that we have that, okay, they will get our strategy and they can get it implemented anywhere. But technically, when it comes to strategy implementation, there that is where the challenge is in any marketing, right? I mean, strategy is very easy. I mean, I can see on Twitter that, okay, how to rank a particular thing. I get that strategy and I can, you know, tell my team to implement it. But the real challenge, the real crux of any marketing is in its execution, right? So that is where we showcase our eligibility, that we don't give them the strategy to execute it. We just give them the pointers that, okay, these are the things you need to do, you know, to make sure that you achieve that goal. And when they are really aggressive about those goals, it becomes, you know, when you are taking that discussion call, in that you can do a lot of discussion in terms of why do you not want to go ahead, or, you know, what is there, or maybe, you know, sometimes it happens that you've sent the proposal and they, you know, they start ghosting you. They will not reply to your emails. They will not reply to your, you know, DMs, right? That happens. I mean, that happens to us as well. But then what you need to do is you need to keep sharing something for free for them. Like, say, for example, there is this SGE coming to it, right? So how your industry can cater when it is, you know, SGE is going to be fully rolled out in the market, right? Then your industry is already doing this. Your industry is, I mean, giving them FOMO in some or the other way, right? Maybe like I said that, you know, most of my inquiries come from LinkedIn, right? So in that case, I try and portray storytelling, considering their pain points, which they are already watching. So they will not, if they will not convert today, they will definitely convert after 6 months, after trying another agency, getting their hands dirty, getting those losses. And then they will be like, okay, no, I need to get with Himani to make sure that her strategy or, you know, missive strategy work.
Yeah, I think it's an important point you mentioned, because I think sometimes when we lose a proposal or someone goes another direction, it's not always that they picked another company or they didn't like what we did. Sometimes it's just timing. You know, there could be a lot of reasons. I think it's important that, you know, you don't view it as a loss, right? It's more of like, oh, okay, we just didn't get them this time. but I'm going to keep nurturing and keep building that trust and authority so that when they are ready, I'm here, you know? So I think that's super smart. So let's talk about kind of what the, let's get in kind of the bolts of what the SEO content strategy looks like, right? So when you're developing, I'm saying package, but I understand yours is more personalized, more strategic. But so what is in there, right? Like on a monthly basis, what is the client getting when they invest with you?
Right. So, you know, whenever they ask for a content strategy for SEO, in that case, we try and analyze that, okay, what type of queries would their customers be searching for, depending on their journey stages, right? Say, for example, awareness, right? In awareness, what kind of queries they would be, searching for, their customers would be searching for. Next is, of course, the consideration stage. So based on the audience, we try and understand the audience so well that literally, you won't believe that we literally do a role play in our organization that, okay, sell me this thing. I'm the customer and you are the client. You know, so just try and sell me. So we do such role plays to understand. We are able to understand audience so well that we are able to understand their mindset, their issues, current issues, that where they will be needing a particular business, their products or their services, right? We get into that. And then we try and, attach the keywords to it. Right. Say if there's a challenge with currently we were working with one of the clients, they are into test automation. Right. So in that case, shift left testing is something that the testers would be looking at. But if it's a beginner tester, they will be learning about what is shift left testing. But if the tester is already into this industry, they have been working into shift left testing, and now they want to understand how they can bring more efficiency when testing using, you know, this particular type. So in that case, we try and understand their pain point by discussing with the testers. So while discussing with the testers, we identified the pain point, we attached it with a query, with a key phrase or a keyword, and then we build the topics so that we target that particular query, which is going to address their problem. Like say, for example, let me give you an example. There is one query, top fashion e-commerce websites, right? Whenever I ask this question to my team or, you know, any other client as well, that what audience do you feel, I mean, they will be looking for when it comes to top fashion e-commerce websites? So of course, most of them say that, okay, they want to know from where they can buy good fashion, right? I mean, which all are the websites where they can go and buy good fashionable, you know, apparels, right? So of course, that is the agenda, that, okay, this is fine. But while we were working for one of our websites, which was into e-commerce consulting or guidance, in that case, that particular same query we used for entrepreneurs. What we used is top fashion e-commerce websites to learn how to do business in the fashion e-commerce industry. And we curated entire content according to that. We listed those 5 websites and we listed what decisions those websites made so that they are now successful in the market. And to be very honest, it has been written in 2018 and it is still on rank 1. Even today, we try and connect the audience, their pain points, and the query so that they get what they want and the businesses want, they attract the right audience that they want. So every query can have different set of audiences.
Right. Yeah. And you, I'm aligned with you very well on that strategy, because I think that there is a tendency to want to go after informational queries that are in the awareness stage, because those typically have the highest search volume. They're pretty easy to go after, but they don't really drive a lot of business objectives, right? So, I like that you're kind of more of a bottom of the funnel and then, you know, work your way up type of strategy. Now, I want to ask you, this is where it gets tricky, because obviously, you know, you do need to create informational content that has that informational intent. But then you also need to build up your more transactional pages. So maybe that's a home page. Maybe those are different service pages that go after different segments. I'm kind of thinking more in the terms of SaaS in particular, right, like if they go after lawyers or healthcare or whatever. So how does your content strategy change when it's an informational query versus a transactional page? It's not going to be built like a traditional article. It's going to be more built to actually drive some sort of conversion. How does that shift?
Right. So, you know, we try and balance it out based on the impact analysis that we do, right? So we try and understand that, okay, these are the queries which are easier for us to rank or not, you know, based on, of course, search volume, keyword difficulty, and all of those areas, right? And we also try to understand the need of that for that particular business. So there are times, you know, what happens is sometimes even the clients or their marketing team even doesn't know that, okay, these are some transactional or commercial queries that might drive the interest, right? So we try and pitch that, okay, these are the pages where we think that the conversion can happen fast, considering we have now known the audience really well. So we understand if someone is searching for this, even if they are just 10 people searching for it, and if there is only one conversion out of it, that is okay. Right. So we try to balance it out that, okay, if it is like we are seeing, like, say, 10 informational queries and we are seeing, say, 10 transactional or commercial queries, we will balance it out based on the impact analysis. What will bring the most results that we need?
Yeah, that's super smart. So one thing that's kind of popping in my mind, because obviously, you know, you have focused in on content, right? And I know you're fully aware of the different variables within SEO, right? There's obviously more than content. Obviously, there's technical components that influence as well. And then also on the link building side, you know, backlinks are an important variable as well. So right, how do you handle that objection with the client that says, well, if we're just doing content, like how are we going to grow the authority of the site? And I know you probably argue that the content is how you grow the authority of the site, but I'd like to hear kind of how you handle that objection.
Right. So we have got such objections earlier as well. So that is the reason why we have, divided our services into three, right? But like, say, for example, technical is something that we look after only 30% of it. Even not 30%, but it will depend like on the company or the website's requirement, because if the website is technologically very heavy, then of course the emphasis would be more there. But in that case, we of course collaborate with the technical SEO people so that they can take care of the requirements that we have. Then of course, when it comes to link building, we keep it after 6 months. Once we have onboarded, we will just focus on two areas. But if it is like, say, very new website, right? But for that new SaaS website, we would need to do product listing on, you know, Trustpilot, G2, or many other websites like that, right? So if we have to do that, then of course the first priority would go to that, because until and unless the brand is visible on the, you know, relevant platforms, no point of doing all such content and all such technical stuff, right? So depending on the importance of it at the stage where we are, based on that, we divide that, okay, if technically the website is too messy, it will take up a lot of our time and effort. So we invest time there. But we clearly say this to our client that our agenda would be like this. And even from day one, we tell our clients that link building will not be our focus from day one. The moment we will have a healthy visibility on the website, like say if a website is very new with almost 100 users only, then in that case, we will tell them that, okay, once we reach like say 10K users on the website, we will start our link building activities. And if the website is already at 300K users, in that case, of course, their main issue is with the content, where they have, I mean, throughout all of our clients, what has happened is they have like more than 500 articles on the website, and only branded terms are driving the entire traffic, right? So most of our task right, is just to optimize those 500 articles period on period to make sure all of those perform and they drive non-branded traffic. So that is how the game works. Like even if it is 300K users, still their content is something that we have to work on.
Right. So on the actual like content production side, so are you going and finding subject matter experts? Are you leveraging subject matter experts that are already work internally at that business? Are you guys ghostwriting? Like, what does that look like?
Okay, so both the ways. We are ghostwriting as well. And what we do is we start and talk with the subject matter experts at the client's end. Right. So there was one in the accounting. There was one client which they were into accounting and financial stuff. And to be very honest, we are not too much, you know, we've never had such clients earlier. So we were very new to it, how, you know, the finance, and because even Google has that, you know, these algorithms, and we have to stick aligned to that algorithms as well. So there we used to talk to the subject matter experts. We try to get more information. We do Loom recordings as well. They used to send us Loom recordings using which our writing team would write it. And even we listen to it on our daily, you know, project calls as well. That, okay, what the clients is trying to say over here, whether we are aligned with it. And because content production is not the only thing, what we have done is we have put aggressive QA process, right? So once the content is created, we have like three layers of content review process. So in that case, we check everything, that the things that, you know, we wanted to add as from the subject matter expert, whether we have added those quotes from those subject matter experts, whether we have linked to the right relevant and trustworthy sources or not, to make sure we talk valid, we talk right. So we have those checklists, huge checklist for those three team members who is behind the QA of the content, because for us content is ultimate thing, right? So we cannot compromise on how the content is going outside. So that is the reason why we get the insights from the subject matter expert. And if we know someone, we also try and do some interview sessions with them to understand how this industry work and why someone would be looking for this particular content. And now that we have ChatGPT, now we can ask ChatGPT why someone would be looking for such a content. We can get at least glimpse or a pinch of information from there.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's a great process. So I know we're coming to the end here. So so where can people find you if they want to work with you?
Okay, they can find me through writingmissivedigital.com. They can even write my entire name, Himani Kankaria, on Google. They can write Himani Kankaria on Twitter. They can write Himani Kankaria on LinkedIn, almost everywhere, and I would be there.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much. It's been really, really valuable. And I think anyone who's trying to start an SEO business or is currently running one or just offers SEO service is going to really get a lot of value from this. So thank you so much for coming on. Hopefully we can chat again soon.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It was really a pleasure.